Jeff, of course, the big question, I'm sure you've been asking it all year long, the offense of leaders of the Flyers thus far in a little bit of a funk. Giroux only 6 points, and Voracek no goals and only 4 points.
Yeah, Voracek's been the obvious surprise to everybody, given the contract extension he got this offseason and the production he had last year. You know, for his sake, you know, not to defend him for not having any goals, but he's had a ton of chances the past couple games, and the puck simply not finding the net. You know, they've been saying all along that it's only a matter of time till the pucks start going in, but, you know, only Anaheim's averaging less goals per game than them right now. The Flyers are 1.91 goals per game, and, you know, that's not how you win games in this league, scoring goals at that rate, and it's no surprise they've lost four straight.
What have you seen not working in Voracek's game thus far?
I don't know if anything's not working. Although I will say he seems to be pressing a little bit over the past couple games. His level of frustration has definitely gone up. You know, Giroux's had some success, and he's the only reason that line has scored any goals. You know, but with Jake, it seems to be that he's trying to do a little bit too much with the puck. I think he admitted that the other day at practice in Vancouver, especially on the power play. You know, their power play has been lethal the past couple years, one of the best in the league over the last five seasons. But this year they seem to, you know, they got in this rut where now they're 0 for their last 12 opportunities over the last five games. And they seem to be really overpassing, trying to really find the perfect goal to break out of the slump. And, you know, and Voracek specifically, he seems to be really pressing with the puck, you know, not knowing exactly what he wants to do and overthinking things. You know, I'm sure we asked him last week if that contract was weighing in his head at all. And he said no, but he doesn't think it is, but if it is, he doesn't know it. I'm sure somewhere in there, as this slump continues, that 8 year, $66 million starts to creep into the back of his head a little bit.
Their power play, overpassing, not shooting, is that the issue? Because even today, Matt Hendricks said, he goes, you know what, I know their power play is struggling, but you don't want to give them a sliver of hope, because all of a sudden, Strait and Giroux and Voracek could easily bury two in the back of the net. What has gone wrong specifically on their power play in your eyes?
Well, I think that they've been overpassing. They haven't been getting a lot of shots on that. They haven't been taking shots from the point. Mark Strait hasn't really unloaded many shots from the point. You know, I don't know if it's that they're not finding proper shooting lanes, but they've gone on this stretch here where they're 0 for their last 12, and it's not even that the opportunities have really been there. You know, some of these power plays, they're getting by with no shots on goal or just one shot on goal and not really threatening. It seems, you know, Wayne Simmonds said, I think last week, that he thought teams were starting to check them a little bit differently because there's so much film out there on this unit specifically. They've been together for, you know, 3-4 years now, that maybe, you know, what they're doing is getting a little bit repetitive. Joey Mullen, the assistant coach, has been the power play coach for the past, I want to say 7 years. So what they're doing here in Philadelphia is pretty much what they've been doing, and even personnel-wise. So, you know, they've got to throw some different wrinkles in there to start creating better opportunities. And given the skill level that's up there with Simmonds' big body in front and the skill level of Voracek and Giroux and Strait quarterbacking on the power play, on the point, you got to think eventually, given their history, that these goals are going to start coming in. And for a team that struggles so much to score even strength goals, it makes it that much more pressing that they get power play goals. So I think we're going to see them break out of that in the near future. It would help their case if that happened tonight.
Jeff Nyberg joins us, a beat reporter from the Philadelphia Daily News. Interesting about the Flyers, I was breaking down their defense to the Oilers' defense. And the Oilers' defense on paper, very few nights, is equal or better than the other team, and this might be one of the few nights. Is their lack of skilled puck movers past Delzato and Strait a big reason why they can't score 5-on-5? They're just not getting the pucks to their forwards?
Yeah, that's a great reason why, and that took a little bit of a hit. The Flyers announced about a half hour ago or an hour ago that Evgeny Medvedev, the Russian defenseman who came over from the KHL this offseason, flew back to Philadelphia today to be evaluated for an upper body injury. And outside of Strait and Delzato, he was their best puck-moving defenseman. So now that problem, you know, is even worse. So, you know, their ability to generate goals 5-on-5 without Medvedev in the lineup is now a lot more difficult.
Goaltending. Steve Mason lost last night. They haven't got a lot of run support for sure, but his numbers compared to Neuwirth, not close. Neuwirth, granted, has only started in four games, but he's posted really good numbers. Has he played that well in those games? Was their team defense better? And if he suddenly wins tonight, do you think he could take over as the leading goal scorer?
I'm not ready to say there's a big goalie controversy. Mason's goals against average got inflated. That one bad period that he had in Florida, he had some personal stuff going on. So that his numbers look worse than they are. But in terms of both goalies together, the Flyers have given up more than 30 shots in every single one of their games this year. No other team in the NHL has – I mean, every team in the NHL has given up less than 30 shots at least four times. I mean, that's how bad their defensive zone coverage has been this year. They've taken a lot of penalties. They're not that strong in the defensive zone. They're just giving up a ton of opportunities where their goalies are going to be forced to make 30-plus saves just to give their team a chance to win the game. So it's difficult to just, you know, look at the numbers and you know, sort of give an evaluation. I think Steve's been fine. He's let in a couple shaky goals here and there, but you can't ask a guy to make more than 30 saves every night and, you know, expect him, you know, the wins are going to come when they can start limiting opposing teams' chances in their defensive zone.
Jeff, that is a great statistic. Every game they allow 30 shots. Every other team at least four times or more has allowed fewer than 30. And, you know, that's a big reason why, you know, and I guess because, you know, that probably contributes to them not scoring because they're playing so much in the defensive zone. So Dave Haxtell, rookie head coach, a lot of people were a little surprised maybe because of his NCAA background, even though, you know, he's a successful coach everywhere he's gone. How's he adapting to this? Or is he a coach who's just stuck with a below average defense corps? And at times there's literally nothing he can do.
I'd like to say probably the latter, that this is what they got and this is what they have to go forward with. And I don't think that's an indictment of Haxtell's ability to coach. You know, the roster is what it is. It's a team that didn't make the playoffs last year, that didn't change much in the offseason due to some salary cap constraints, and he's working with what he has. But, you know, the coaching or not, you're giving up more than 30 shots per game in every game. It's a lot of personnel issues. They're having trouble getting the pucks out of the zone cleanly and with possession. So it's an area they struggled with last year. It's an area they're struggling in this year, and it's, you know, in my opinion, it's not a systematic thing. It's a personnel thing. And that's what, you know, this is what the situation they're in. This is the situation they got themselves in, salary cap wise. And this is going to take a couple years to work itself out.
Obviously, they'll be looking to try to acquire maybe some defense via trade. They do have Provorov, who I saw over the weekend, and he might be the best player in the Western Hockey League. He's unbelievable. I know it's in the Western League, but that's a very good young defenseman that's coming up. Which forwards do you think they would be willing to move that could attract a quality defenseman?
I'm not so sure they're going to trade to acquire defensemen. I think. You know, I think they're going to more quickly than not trade one of their defensemen. If they're going to trade anybody, I think you could see Mark Streiter or Luke Shen be a prime trade candidate around the deadline. Shen's coming off the books after this year anyway, but Streiter signed through year 2017. I know they're trying to get some of these younger guys up here in the next couple of years, Provorov and Shane Gostisbehere and Samuel Morin. So, you know, I'd like to think that if they're going to make any trade in the near future, it'd be a defenseman. I think forward-wise, if they could get anybody to take the contract of Vinny LeCavalier or R.J. Umberger, that would be two guys, given their cap hit, who would be candidates. Braden Shen's in the last year of his contract. He's a restricted free agent after this year. So there's a couple options they could have. You know, like I said, I think they're more quickly to trade a defenseman. But, you know, like I said, if they could get somebody to take Umberger or LeCavalier, they could strike gold in that department.
Yeah, I'd be stunned if anyone's going to take Umberger. And LeCavalier's got 2 years left after this on his deal. And the foot speed of either one of those guys, do you think they've got anything left?
I think Umberger has actually shown a little bit more of a step this year so far. I know he battled a lot of injuries last year. He had an abdomen injury, had surgery on it in March. And I know, you know, he talked about this offseason how he had excruciating pain. He would just go home and lay on the floor you know, he was just out of it. And, you know, that your ability to skate relies a lot on your core, and he didn't have that last year. So he's actually, you know, it was noticeable from training camp that he had a little bit more of a jump. You know, he's kind of got relegated back to the fourth line on Monday against Vancouver. He played with Ryan White and Chris Vandeveld, while Benil Cavalier, in his second game played, was up on the third line. And I thought he had a pretty decent game last night, actually. Benil Cavalier in Vancouver had a couple scoring chances, was kind of around the puck. So that was pretty good to see out of him.
Jeff, I really appreciate the rundown. We'll see you at the rink.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.